In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. And Jesus said to Andrew and Peter, "Follow me, I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Last Sunday, we read in John's Gospel a different version of how Andrew and Peter became disciples of Jesus. Andrew, who was already a disciple of John the Baptist, along with another of his disciples, heard John the Baptist saying, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." So they followed Jesus and stayed with him. And later, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. But in Matthew's Gospel today, we see a different take. In it, we see two sets of brothers. One pair, Andrew and Peter, in the sea casting nets. And the other pair, the Zebedee boys, by the sea mending nets with their father. Our Gospel says, in the midst of what they were doing, Jesus called them out. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Thus, we see two different accounts of the same story. John's version of the call was rather slow and well thought out and relational, whereas Matthew's rendering leaves us with an impression that the call was unplanned and the response was rather impulsive. However, both accounts are rich with meaning and symbolism. Calling is to relationship, and it happens in the midst of our daily lives, in our mundane routine life. Last Sunday we talked about God calling us into being and then naming us for greatness. Today, I would like us to continue that conversation as to how God is calling us into being. What is calling? What is vocation? Is God calling into being not a calling into relationship? Isn't true vocation means our relationship to our Creator? A research conducted by Lilly Endowment discovered two fascinating things. Graduates of theological institutions consider their work as teachers and preachers as a calling or vocation, whereas the members of the congregation they serve don't feel that their engagement in the world as a calling or vocation. It was just work. Why is that, we must ask? Why working as a pastor or a priest or a minister in a church is considered a calling, while working as a fireman, a teacher, a nurse, a lawyer, or a business person, not a calling or a vocation? One of our contemporary theologians, Frederick Buechner, reflects on vocation as the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place some of us working may neither be a place of our deep gladness, nor is it a place of world's deep hunger. The places we find ourselves working today may not be the ideal place. For most folks, work is work, often devoid of significant connection to who they really believe themselves to be and to the rest of their lives. But they help us to bring home the bacon. And the research further shows that persons who consider called resonate duties with terms such as sense of fulfillment, meaning, and purpose, the same terms one would associate with relationships. So when Jesus calls us into being or calls us to vocation, He is calling us into a relationship. Week ago, Friday and Saturday, Deacon Joe and myself, as members of the Commission of Ministry, met with 5 aspirants to discern and affirm their sense of call to ordained ministry. What we were most interested in finding out was how they experienced the call. None of them experienced their calls like Andrew and Peter and the Zebedee brothers, as narrated in today's gospel. It wasn't sudden or it wasn't impulsive. Theirs were more like, as described in John's gospel, gradual and relational. Breakthroughs such as answering a call to something significant in one's life don't happen all of a sudden. It happens over a period of time as a result of numerous small steps and minor achievements. We heard our aspirants say how they experience sacredness in the mundane. In the everyday ordinariness of secular work, of being a lawyer, a legislative assistant, working with incarcerated women in a jail, or working with recovering drug-addicted women in a halfway house. Each of them sensed fulfillment, meaning, and purpose in what they were doing, and now they are sensing a summoning to a higher calling, into an abiding relationship, as described in John's Gospel. The takeaway for us is that Jesus calls us right in the middle of our everyday, common, ordinary life to be in relationship with Him and with the ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Now the question arises in our mind: are we being called? If so, how? If we are thinking of a flaming chariot or a burning bush, for a call from God, it may never come. Most of the calls we received and promptly ignore are the proverbial still small voices, kind of like the ones some of our biblical prophets heard. Let us ask, what are we being called for? We may be called to pay attention to our intuitions, to live and lead a genuine and authentic life in the places of our secular work. We may be called to find sacredness, joy, and hope in our places of work, what may be a mundane workaday world. We may be called to build genuine relationships with fellow workers, especially the ones with most difficult to deal with. The places we find ourselves to be holding a job, while may not be ideal, is the crucible where our calling may be honed and sharpened. We are called to turn our profane places of work to sacred sanctuaries of relationship. Moses was a cattle herder. When he was called to herd a ragtag group of people from slavery to freedom. David, King David, was a shepherd when he was anointed to be the shepherd of a nation. Andrew, Peter, James, and John were fishermen who were called to be fishers of people. And later they were called the apostles. How about our ministries in the church? Do we see our participation in leading our Sunday morning worship as adding beauty and solemnity to it? All of us are called. Our Sunday morning service involves everyone present in the church. We are called to worship from the moment we hear that first chime. The purpose of the call is to summon us away from our daily grinds to a new level of awareness, into the sacred frame of mind, into communion with which is bigger than ourselves. In the church, our call is to worship God together, corporately, and in relationship with others. We are called to be in service of each other, bearing each other's burden, caring for each other, especially the ones that are most vulnerable. Sometimes our calls may take us far, across the world, across cultural, ethnic, language, and color barriers. This call always involves people. It is not merely a program, a mission, or a project, or a ministry, but actual flesh and blood persons. Our call may be to strike a relationship with someone that we do not know, and then to sit down with that person and share a prayer together. Yes, we are called. As Teresa of Avila says, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. This morning you heard from Judy Hans and Julia Sharp answering a call to serve God in his ministry through St. Peter's Episcopal Church. Next week you will hear from Vincent G. and Caterina. All three persons are going to serve in the vestry of our church, and Bernice Spence Brown will join Beverly to serve as delegate to the deanery and convention. I would like all of us in the church to be involved in one ministry or the other in the church and in the community. If you are currently not engaged in a ministry in the church, let me know how I can help you. I will lead you to the one that you like the most. Remember, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. We are called. St. Peter's needs you.